that and see exactly what needs to be done.
Holly Hilgerson speaking.
Hi, am I speaking to Early?
Yes, this is Early speaking.
Early, this is Ella James calling you from Normal Creating. How are you doing today?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good.
Sorry, please go ahead.
What can I help you with?
Yes, I believe that you have spoken to Lisa yesterday, and we had a call, detailed call scheduled for today so that we can discuss your project and discuss any changes or edits that are required. And I had a question that I wanted to clarify as well regarding the drafts. So is it a good time to talk to you right now?
Yes.
Perfect.
Go ahead.
Okay, so Early, can you let me know how are the drafts going? Is there anything in particular that you want me to work on?
Yes, where it opens up into a story form with the person on the alien planet. Actually, I was thinking of a
sorry?
The person and the human sees the vision. Gets connected first and sees what's going on, picks up all the images, and then switch to the other person, alien, what he's doing, how he's connected, how he got in contact with the person.
I'm a little confused, Early. I'm so sorry. What person are you talking about?
The human character.
Uh-huh.
He initially reaches up with his mind and touches a mind that's sort of like floating around in the upper atmosphere.
Okay.
Where it starts as a storyline from the starfish planet.
Mm-hmm.
And wanted to start with him and what he sees when he first connects to him. And person of what the other, what he's talking to or seeing.
Okay.
Let me be specific here. Let me get that. He tells his friend that he's psychic, and then his friend says to prove it. So he reaches up with his mind, and he touches something, a consciousness, and images start flowing into his mind from this being, alien being, the starfish people.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets like a synapse of the person, the creature that's talking to him, a visual image, and then a descriptive visual image, and then image of the planet, and sees them coming into the, from outer space, he sees it going down to the planet and seeing the atmosphere, and he still feels his contact with this being who is trying to see in images.
Okay. Yes, absolutely.
And then the response that the person, the starfish person gives, not in words, it's in images.
It's in images?
Yeah, that describe who he is and where what he's doing. The first thing he tells him is that he's had to have permission. And he was the first person to reach up into space with his mind and touch him. And that gave him permission to actually talk to him. The alien's permission, because that's one of the rules. If you're not invited into someone's mind, you can't enter it. So he was waiting up in our atmosphere. His mind was waiting up in our atmosphere, waiting for someone to actually reach out in his touch him. That allowed him to communicate with this human. then that's when the humans started seeing images, like a zoom in. Sees two stars, and he zooms in, and he gets closer and closer, and he sees this planet orbiting around the star, these two stars, and shows it being clouded, and then coming down to, he sees the city, way it's laid out, and the ocean. He notices that the land above the ocean was all metal,
mm-hmm.
and the visual image of the creature who is talking to him. And he gives a description of what he does, what his job is. Like, you know, his job was to reach out to other worlds to get information.
Mm-hmm.
Not other worlds, since knowledge was the currency of the land. They're always looking for new knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an exchange that goes on with that. The human describes his world, and the starfish person starts describing his world in more detail. He goes back and forth between the two. Hopefully there's descriptive and visual images with this.
Mm-hmm.
Like on the page that you're reading.
Sorry?
So, yeah.
I couldn't understand the last line that you said. Can you please repeat that?
Yes. As you describe it in words,
mm-hmm.
the image on the page next to it to see what it, to visually show what it is. So you're seeing he's describing in words what he's experiencing, and then on the other page next to it, there's an image that shows mm-hmm. what he's describing with words.
Okay, got it.
You got that?
Yes, perfect. Okay, so is there any other revision, though?
Well, the starfish person within talked to him, asked him about his world.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll describe it to him, and the starfish person would wonder about what this is. Like, for them, a green planet, on the land that has soil is something they've never heard of. There's no soil on their sections above the islands and the land masses. It's almost all metal.
Got it.
Yeah. They mm-hmm. describe some of the land mass where there's particles of metal, you know, like rust and stuff like that. It flows across their land like sand dunes. The sand dunes are magnetic, so they stick together. And,
mm-hmm.
and it goes into the description of the land.
Okay.
You ever heard of a sand dune that's made of nothing but metal and little granules, and they're magnetic, they're like little magnets? So all
mm-hmm.
the sands together, and they travel across the land, but gradually as they roll over each other,
mm-hmm.
and they still stick to each other, but they kind of roll over, and the whole dune slowly moves forward with the wind, but stays together as a whole, as a big clump.
Got it.
You ever seen a magnet that when you pick up the metal filings?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that, except on a huge scale.
Mm-hmm.
And the wind is strong enough to make them roll over each other but not break apart. So it's like it moves as a single mass across the land. Or in their case, across the metal surface.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
And then things like all the plant life for the starfish people is in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And he describes how they have these giant lily pad-like structures that are floating on the water surface
mm-hmm.
in the ocean. And they're like miles and miles across. and he describes how they are. He describes how they bloom. When the two of them bump up each other, they grow, they extend up into the sky, and they fuse together. And the sections where they fuse together create a something like a flower. And that's when the flower blooms, they mix together and create, I guess, spores, I guess you would call them, like a dandelion. And the wind carries them off, and they blow across the ocean, and they land in the ocean and slowly grow to the size of adults. But it's a very long process. And they become part of the plankton food chain in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
One of the different planktons.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, one of the different planktons. There's many forms of plankton in the ocean, but that's just one of them. You know, like the way we have larvae of fish that float in the ocean, like plankton, part of the plankton chain. Well, that's what these creatures, these plants, behave.
Okay. Got it. I'm sorry, your voice is okay. I couldn't hear you correctly.
Yes, that was my wife speaking.
Okay.
And then the human describes his land, and the alien makes comments about different things like, why do we build in floodplains and long fault lines? Why do you build on a fault line you know it's going to slip? Things like that. He's like, why do you have hurling metal boxes right next to where people are walking? Some things like that, that an alien would ask, why would you do that when you know how dangerous something like that is? He describes it. Originally, we had creatures like horses, and he asked about what a horse is and how, from the perspective of the alien. Originally, they were moving very slow, and then we never changed it. As they got faster and faster, that was the way we did it. That's the way we built our roads in the cities. And he inquires about how the dry land, when everything they have is like rain, not rain, but like a mist. It goes across everything.
Got it.
And then he just, the starfish person speaks back to him about the different kinds of plankton in their oceans. He describes how some people use the hallucinatory plants here in our world, and then he describes a similar thing, that particular plankton in the ocean, back when they eat them, they create an hallucinatory state for them.
Mm-hmm.
And he describes why they do that. And then the human describes why. But the important thing about these interchanging descriptions is that you have a visual image, a picture of it on the page adjacent to it. And in general, that's the way it connects. And then there eventually get longer and longer periods where the person is just observing the world through the eyes of the starfish person. And then there's this, all the descriptive elements about the land masses and the different cities they have. He gives them a tour of the cities, the dry cities. But for us, they would seem wet. But to the starfish person, it would seem dry, because they're built up on the land in these hollow bowls that, like, are miles across, like a caldera on our world. Except on their world, the caldera is made of nothing but metal. There's no rocks that, as we would know them.
Got it.
Bowls, they would flood them and establish the plank and allow it to grow into a full city.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the dry cities come from.
Okay.
And there's an exchange of those two back and forth. The material that I sent you has both of these descriptions in it.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's something about those descriptions that's lacking, you just need to make note of it and let me know. And I'll go about them in more detail.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I skip something or left it out, let me know. And it's an exchange of images on his part, more words on the human side part.
Mm-hmm.
But they all have to have pictures right next to them. To describe, show what the human or the person is describing.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Are there revisions? These are the revisions that you had to talk about early?
I was going to tell you about the images from the dry city.
Uh-huh.
And I've described how they get the water up to the city. In some of my notes.
Okay.
First of all their technology is organically based.
Okay. You want to get the borders up?
Say again?
Do you want to get the borders up off the pictures?
In the dry cities, they need to pump the water up to the cities.
Okay, fine.
They use what I described as living pipes.
Mm-hmm.
And each section of living pipe had these long, leaf-like structures that extend way out.
Mm-hmm.
And each section generates its own energy from those leaves to pump. And they all pump in unison up to the dry cities. And then they have bigger ones that are used as elevators, which they get into. And this is one of the rare cases where they actually have metal doors on these living pipes. And they're big enough for several starfish people to go in, and then using water pressure, they draw them up to the top of, the caldera where the city is.
Got it.
And the most striking feature about the city is the a tower at the very center. It reaches up into the sky. It's like a lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
Except it reflects the light above the fog down into the city and can be focused as a beam that can sweep around the city and defend it from attacks. But that is not used for that anymore. It's used to create the chips by focusing the light through the lens and onto into a secondary lens that allows to generate these chips by burning into the metal these patterns that you know how the way a chip is built.
Mm-hmm.
It describes that. Each layer is put on, and then those become like the currency of that world, in the form of money. But instead of money, it's information.
Got it.
And then you don't carry this money around with you. It's put into a computer. We would call it a computer. But for them, they would call it an arch. And the arches are made of, the core of it is made of metal. But there are slots where you can put each chip in.
Mm-hmm.
But they also have an operating system that's attached to each section of the arch. And they're similar in structure to, they're like leaves that come out on either side. And each adjacent arch, the leaves come together and they fuse at the tips to create a green canopy, like like a tent over the area. And this is about the size of a church or a cathedral.
Got it.
But a little on the lower side.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, the starfish people have an appendage that can extend out and touch the base of the arch. And that's actually the connecting point between the starfish person and the arch.
Okay.
And the operating system in the arch works together to find the information that's somewhere in the arch and brings it down to them. You know, like looking for a program on a computer, how we would scroll through something. They would project the image of what the information they need,
mm-hmm.
and receive the images that they need. And and they don't normally speak in words. They speak in thoughts and images.
Okay.
But the starfish person who had psychically projected to the earth,
mm-hmm.
Had learned to speak English by listening to the minds that freely went up, thoughts that circled the planet. They rose up from the surface from the various minds.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the few starfish people that could actually speak somewhat in the human language. Those are some of the descriptive elements. In the notes I sent you, there should be a whole lot more of that kind of material.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is to have an exchange of conversation. And they ask about our wars and why we still fight them.
Mm-hmm.
The guy describes the evil people in our world, like Mussolini, Hitler, Putin, and he tells them what they were, and they wanted power and things like that baffle the starfish person, because he doesn't understand the concept of individuals seeking power. And then he reflects on the early history of their cities when they were more like fortresses, and the people of the city at that time in the past, as he's reflecting on it, was more like a fort or fortress, yeah. And at that time, they actually practiced war.
Mm-hmm.
And the original cities would go out to the various tribes and attack them. And then I described the action. In my notes that I already sent you, I described some of the actions that were taken and things that were done during that war.
Mm-hmm.
The elements about how they gathered the information from the starfish people, how they kidnapped the young in order to indoctrinate them
mm-hmm.
into the city. And the cities were centers of war and destruction to the tribes. And the cities were slowly taking over the tribes by going to one specific tribe and attacking it and then moving on to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
But only after the tribes started to work together, like we do in this world with, the Western Alliance?
Mm-hmm.
And we're fighting wars against the now for that sort of thing. But they fought it in the past, and they no longer have war, but some of the descriptive images, but not the actual. And the arches that I described earlier were not for storage of information and the currency that is information that it was used in the first cities as a way to brainwash the young that they stole.
Mm-hmm.
Teach them the art of war. and make them part of their city tribe. The same way the Nazis did with young children. And it's an exchange of information about what happened, how they did that here on Earth, and then what happened in their world. The starfish person only knows the smallest details. It's not the full impact of it. They just understand the few images that survived from that time, but none of the emotional impact, nothing that could brainwash someone. That's why I come into the fact that the starfish person finds a sectional arch that was originally cast into the deepest parts of their ocean, you know, like we had the Mariana Trench. They have similar things in their ocean.
Got it.
And he describes how he revived the operating system, but he also remembers that he describes how the fact that they go into dormant state, the operating system on these things is like living life form that wrapped around one section of the arch.
Okay.
They live forever, but it's circumstances where they can't get refueled. The leaves, they're off. They go into a dormant state, but they still live forever. They're attached to the arches. They describe that, and he describes how he finds this arch, which he thought was like a boon, because that information about what happened to them and what they were, the brainwashing material, the images they put forced on the young, and the conditioning of violence, and, you know, the horror of war, which was on this section of chip. Right? At the time that he found it, he did not know this. This was a section of arch that was used to indoctrinate all the young that they sold. And it has an effect on him. But the link he has with the person, human, has experience with war. So, when a soldier comes back from war and there's an initial that describes I can't think of what it is now. When a soldier comes back and has stress disorders, from war, and he's all tied up in it, and how they bring them back from that, and humans do, with group therapies and discussing with them. Well, the person he had connected to from our world was a veteran, and he had had some experience with that. So he acts as the group person that would normally speak to another veteran, speaking to the guy who had read the chip after he revived it and didn't realize the horror that was on it. And the chip is like experiencing it, like actually being there and experiencing the same brainwashing and the horror of war that allows the first cities to control the young. And the older of our time kind of talks them down. Like one veteran would talk to another veteran, talk them down from it. Excuse me, my voice. And that's one of the things that happened between the human soldier and the starfish person. I hope I'm being clear here.
Okay. Perfect. Got it. So early, I had one question. You had mentioned it to Lisa that you wanted the drafts to be, do you want the drafts to be in like a third person perspective, or do you want to mention it as I or like that?
Some sections you can mark as a third person, and the other sections can be from the perspective of each individual person.
I get that. But it cannot be as in like he or she and then, you know, we put in an I. Like we can't change the text like in one chapter it's something different and in the third chapter it's something different. So we want to follow the procedure. We wanted to follow the process and we wanted each and everything to be obviously we want everything to sink in together. Right?
Yes.
So
then it's the third person.
Third person perspective? Yeah. That's what you want to go with?
Yeah.
But all right.
It's all the third person from the starfish person's perspective.
From the starfish person's perspective?
As well as the the human character's perspective.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, perfect. I will get in touch with the writer regarding your revisions that we just spoke over the phone call, and I will let them know that you want it to be a third-person perspective story, and I will be getting back to you with the next draft in the coming week, okay?
Okay.
Yes.
Just to let you know, a lot of this material is in the notes I sent you.
Perfect. I will share the notes with them as well, okay? So don't worry. I will be sharing the notes and I will be telling you the notes that we just discussed and I will be coming up with the next draft by next week. You can review it and let me know your feedback on it and if there are any changes or edits, you can let me know and we will proceed further with it, okay?
That sounds good. And if you have any, if there are any holes in my descriptions, just let me know and I'll fill in those holes like
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I will let you know right away and you can give me your input on it and anything that you do not like, anything that you want to get revised, let me know and I will get it done for you right away, okay?
Okay, no, sounds good.
Perfect. Is there anything else early I could do for you?
I think that's it for now.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so early, I'm hoping to speak to you soon again, and I'm hoping that you like the next job that's going to come up. So give it a read and let me know if there are anything in particular that you want me to get change. You can let me know, and I will work on it for you, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you very much. You have
perfect.
A nice day.
You too. Take care of yourself and have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.